Tonight before the lesson, the scripture reading will be Romans 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 states, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways."
I'm excited. I'm just telling you, I'm excited. Friday night, 7 o'clock, I'm ready to go. And I know that so many of you are as well. Something we've been looking forward to for a long time now, it seems. Looking forward to this workshop. And I just want to again reiterate that it is for everybody. We would love for everybody to be here. There'll be something for everybody to benefit from in this workshop. And so please do plan to be here. Beginning Friday evening at 7 o'clock. The plan is to be done around 8:15, so it's just a kind of a typical Wednesday evening, and but it's on Friday, so plan to be here on Friday. Again, as was mentioned, we do have Sunday evening services next Sunday, a week from today, beginning at 4:30 instead of 5 o'clock. So make a mental note of that, or maybe jot it down, Waylon, that you don't forget that we'll be at 4:30 next week, and that's my good friend Waylon, and I can do that. So you know I don't mean it. I also wanted to, that I got myself. I was going to mention one more thing. Also, I do want to mention, I was a part of something like this several years ago, and many of you have been a part of something like this as well, but the last time that I was a part of this, it was also beneficial for any of the men who were sitting up in the AV room. There was a section of that as we were going through and talking about the screens and song leading. It was actually beneficial for the men in the AV room. So you might tuck that away too. You say, well, I'm not a song leader. Well, you have a lot to do with the way that we sing, sitting in that room. I say that's the most powerful seat. AJ is sitting in that seat tonight. He's in the most powerful seat in this room, controlling this board and our singing. So again, guys who are in the AV room, that might be something as well that that you might give some thought to. Maybe you hadn't thought about that, but it might be good for you to be here as well. Tonight, I want to end this little short series as we were kind of leading up to this workshop, looking at different songs. And I texted Aaron and I said, when I was setting him up to lead songs tonight, I said, will you please lead this song before the sermon? And Brother Aaron he's in the know, and he really likes song books and songs and those who have written songs. And so he told me tonight, he said, I've got a good one tonight by Brother Tedley after the sermon. And then he threw one in there again right before the prayer, "Hear Me When I Call," written by Brother Tillett S. Tedley. Brother Tedley was a member of the church. And so he was a brother in Christ, an interesting life he lived. Born in Swan, Texas, just north of Tyler over in East Texas. And Brother Tedley lived to be 102 years old. I mentioned some time ago that Brother Tedley, on his 100th birthday, received a telegram from President Ronald Reagan. And so he lived a very interesting life and did a lot of interesting things. But a lot of that was connected to preaching the gospel and especially to composing songs and song books. We have a dozen Tillett S. Tedley hymns in our song books that we use in the pew back behind you. A few of those, again, we know very, very well. And this is one that we're going to be looking at tonight. I also found it interesting, and this isn't on the screen, but I never got to know Brother Tedley, and I forgot to ask Mike. It's very possible that paths were crossed, and I suppose that they were.
I'm not 102, but yes.
So I knew that was probably the case. Now, as I was catching up, I was reading through an old lectureship book, and Brother Avon Malone shared a story that there was a sister in Christ who once went to Brother Tedley and said, "Brother Tedley, you have been able all of these years to maintain a wonderful smile. What have you done to help maintain that wonderful smile?" I guess he was just known as a happy person. And he got this very good smile. And she said, "How do you do it?" And he wittingly said, "I'll tell you what I do. I get up every morning and I go look in the mirror and I work on my smile. I get it just right and then I keep it all day." I work on it every morning and I keep it all day. I think that Brother Tedley knew that he had reason to smile. And when you think about the songs that he wrote, you can sense that he had a great joy about him, that he really understood what he possessed in Jesus, and it just flows from the pages of those songs and those words that he recorded for us. And tonight, we're going to spend a few minutes, and I'll try not to be too labored on this, but I tell you, Adam, do you feel inadequate when you get up to preach every time? And that is so true when you think about these words tonight and the subject matter that we find before us. I've approached each of these songs a little bit differently in different ways, and tonight, a little bit different. I just want to look at three words. Three words that we find in this song. And again, there's so many other things that could be said, that probably should be said. But tonight I want to look at three words. And the first of those words is the word depth. Oh, the depth and the riches. Oh, the depth. That's interesting when you think about the word depth. The first time that we find the word depth in most of our English translations is in Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, you've just had the Israelites delivered from Egyptian bondage. They have walked across the Red Sea on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. And then they have turned around after they all were safely across. They've turned around and they have watched as God has caused those same walls of water to come crushing down and bury their enemy. The Egyptian army, Pharaoh and his army, were covered by those same waters. And in Exodus chapter 15, Moses offers a song of praise to God. And in Exodus chapter 15, in verse 5, he talks about the Egyptian army down in the depths. He said they went down into the depths like a stone. You ever thrown a stone into the water and watched it sink? He said I watched the Egyptian army sink into the depths of the sea when God caused that to happen. Many times the Bible talks about depths and it connects it to the seas. For example, in Job chapter 38, it's wrong on the screen, I think. You've got God talking to Job, right, at the end of the book of Job, and as absolutely questioning Job, were you there when I did this, and were you there when I did that? And in this section of Job, he looks at Job and he says, were you there, or is it possible for you to walk in the recesses of the deep? Is it possible for you to walk through the water like I can? And when you think about the recesses of the deep, we're talking about depth. When you talk about the recesses of the deep, it's interesting to me that the deepest known depth of the earth is in the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean. And it is believed that the Mariana Trench goes down almost 36,000 feet. Now, you take Mount Everest, which is the highest point on top of the earth, and you could take Mount Everest and invert it and sink it, and you would not reach the bottom of the Mariana Trench. The deepest point on earth is deeper than the tallest point on top of the earth. And so when God says, Job, can you walk through the recesses of the deep? He's talking about deep. He said, I can do that. That's his awesome nature. The depth. When you and I think about depth, these are thoughts that maybe should come to mind when we think about how deep God's love really is for us. When we think about who he is and what he has done for us. Now, you could connect depth to other things. People cry out to God from the depths, the Bible says, these depths of despair. And there are other places that talk about the depths of the earth. But depths, generally, when we think about it, probably we should think about that the ocean. But now we connect it to God. I want you to connect that to God with me. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, we find in verse number 39 the word depth. And it says, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus. There's no depth where we can escape from the love of God. The love of God is deep enough that it can go beyond the Mariana Trench. The love of God runs deep for you and me. And this is seen, as Brother Tedley brings out, in Jesus, in the cross of Jesus. Now turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I really like these words of the Apostle Paul because he's been talking about this great mystery, this mystery that once was kept hidden that now has been revealed. And all along we're wondering as we get different pieces of the puzzle, and now the puzzle is put together. Now we see the full scope of God's plan in bringing about salvation, not just for Jew, but also for Gentile. Now all people can be saved. And so Paul has said, now this great mystery has been revealed that in Christ, everybody can be saved. And then you get to verse 14, and it's as if Paul just has to take a time out and praise God because this is true. Because everybody can be saved, he said, let me take a time out and let's just offer God praise. Look at it, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and catch it, depth. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul connects the word depth here to the love of God. Brethren, you'll never exhaust God's love for you. You'll never know just how much you are loved. It really bothers me when Christians walk around unhappy. It really bothers me when those of us who really know what it is to be loved, and we should know what it is to be loved, that we walk around as if nobody cares about us, or we walk around as if we're really not loved, when the very opposite is true. You are the most loved. Nobody loves you like God does. His love for you is deeper than you can even begin to imagine. Jesus came and died for you as an expression of his love for you. It is deep. You'll never know how deep it truly is. In connection to God, we also see the depth of wisdom and knowledge that alone belong to God. Quickly, Romans chapter 11. Austin read for us a moment ago, verse number 33. And again, you see, I suppose that these verses were very much in the mind of Brother Tedley as he is writing this great hymn, as he's thinking about God and the depth of his love and the depth of his wisdom and the depth of his knowledge. Oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you tonight that because of God's love for you, he's always had a plan to save you. That because of his love for you, he's known from the beginning that we were going to sin, that we were going to fall away, and he's known from the beginning that Jesus, his son, was going to have to come and give himself in our place. And he's always had this plan. Who can know the mind of God? You can't. Who can search out his ways? You'll never do it. God, his depth of knowledge and wisdom is unfathomable, right? That's a tough word, isn't it? But it is without fathom. There's no way to really know it. That's amazing when we think about God. And his ways are past finding out. His wisdom and knowledge are deep. And then I love to think about this, finally on this point of depth. I think Micah was very much looking ahead to the days of Christ. And he was, again, looking past captivity. And he was thinking about forgiveness and what God was going to be able to do for us. And these little phrases are tucked away in this minor prophet, Micah chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, where the Bible says, through 19, the Bible says, they will lick the dust like a serpent, like a crawling things of the earth. They will come trembling out of their fortresses to Yahweh our God. They will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. But who is a God like you who forgives iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? Catch it. He does not hold fast to his anger forever because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's a picture of God's forgiveness, isn't it? He will take them and cast them into the depths of the sea. That's deep. That's saying, listen, Adam, I know what you've done. I know where you've missed the mark. I know where you've gone against me. I know where you've set up your idols. I know where you have set yourself up against me at times. And as you've come and as you've repented of such, and now as you've been washed clean in the blood of Christ, and you continue to walk in the light where his blood continues to cleanse you, I will continue to forgive you. I am faithful, and I will forgive you. That's the forgiveness that you and I need from God, and we will never be able to exhaust it. Peter said to Jesus, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? Good try, Peter. No, up to 70 times seven. What's Jesus saying? You can't exhaust it. You'll never exhaust God's forgiveness, our need for God's forgiveness and his willingness to offer it to us because of Jesus and what he has done. I like to think about the depth of God connected to his love, his wisdom, his knowledge, and to his forgiveness. Now let's look at a second word. I suppose you've guessed it by now. It's the word riches. Oh, the depth and the riches. Let's think about riches for just a moment. Obviously, when you think about riches, when the Bible has a lot to say about riches, it has a lot to say about earthly wealth, right? Earthly riches. Jesus would talk about wealth quite a bit, actually. He talked a lot about rich people and different things concerning wealth and riches. It is not condemned, but it is said that it can be difficult for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet I like to think about Solomon and his riches and the fact that in the days of Solomon, the Bible says that silver was as common as stone. I mean, it was everywhere. Solomon was filthy rich, you might say. He had so much money that you and I can't even begin. And yet, in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 27, when Jesus was talking about the lilies of the field that are arrayed, taken care of, clothed by God, he says not even Solomon in all his glory could be arrayed like one of those lilies of the field. So he was contrasting wealth with God's care, with what God can do. Somebody spoke all of this into existence, right? Who does all of this belong to? All of these material things, who do they belong to ultimately? Ultimately, they belong to God who made them. There's no one more rich than God. He spoke and it came into existence. And yet, we have to beware of riches. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, in the parable of the sower, Jesus says there's some seed that fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked out the word from their hearts. Well, what's choking it out? He says the cares and the riches of life. We have to be careful about these riches. But whenever the Bible says that God is rich in something, my ears perk up. What is God rich in? You know, you know those rich people, and you say, what do you get a rich person? They've already got everything. Well, what's God rich in? I mean, there's nothing that he doesn't possess. And so when it says that he's rich in something, we really should pay attention. And the Bible says he is rich in wisdom and knowledge in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, right? His knowledge and wisdom runs deep, and he is rich in wisdom and knowledge. How about Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? It talks about the riches of God. And you see these different words that are connected there to God in his riches in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. We're moving from the sins of the Gentiles into the sins of the Jews in Romans chapter 2. Paul says, therefore, you are without excuse, O man, everyone who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you presume this, O man, who passes judgments on those who practice such things and does the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Make your point, Paul. Verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What's God rich in? Goodness, kindness, forbearance, and patience. He's rich in that. Aren't you glad? I kind of need Him to be good to me. I kind of need His goodness. I need Him to be kind to me. I don't need Him to give me what I really deserve, right? Do you? I'm glad that He's rich in patience, aren't you? I need Him to be patient with me. I need His patience every day. I'm glad that He's rich in patience. And He is. But the list is long of His riches. Oh, you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and you see that the Bible says, again, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul has said that we once were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. Well, how has that come to be? It's because God is rich. Because He's rich in mercy. And because He's rich in kindness. And because He's rich in being gracious. He is rich in grace. And so as we need His grace, He extends it. I was lost in my sin, but God is rich in grace. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that He's rich? Aren't you glad that He's willing to share His riches with you? He's rich in mercy. The idea that He feels with me. Jesus came and He put on flesh, and He knows what I go through, and He knows what it's like to endure temptation, and He knows what it's like to walk through this world. He knows what it's like, and He's merciful to me. He feels with me. He is kind to me. I appreciate so much that He knows what it's like to live in this life and that He is rich and He showers His divine favor upon us because we are lost without it. He's rich, brethren. I want to remember that He's rich. And then I want to remember, even Mike brought this out a little bit ago, looking at future tense. The Bible says that He is rich in glory. All right, you look there in Ephesians chapter 1, and the Bible talks about His being rich in glory. We talk about having relatives, and they leave us some kind of inheritance. And we think ourselves about what we might leave the next generation, as the generation before us left, and now we're getting to that point, where we're thinking about, well, what are we going to be able to leave the next generation? And inheritance can be a wonderful blessing, right? Inheritance is a really good thing. It can be. Think about God's inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and he talks about the inheritance that's reserved for us in heaven. It's incorruptible and undefiled, and it will not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for us, where you and I can see and experience the glory of God. God is rich in glory. I have to go to heaven, don't you? I have to go to heaven. I have to see God in His glory. I have to be there and be around His throne. I want to see the riches of His glory. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. I've got to go to heaven. I can't see it any other way in my mind. I must see it. I've got to go. And because of what Christ has come and what He has offered us, and because God is deep in His love for us, and He's deep in His wisdom and knowledge, and He's always had a plan to bring about our salvation, and because He is deep in forgiveness, and because He is rich in kindness and goodness and mercy, and because He is rich in grace, and because He is rich in glory, He makes it available to us. That third word is the word Savior. You want to know the depth of God's love for you? You want to know the riches of His grace? Then just look to the cross. Brother Tedley had it right. There, the debt for my sins was all paid. in his suffering on Calvary. There, the debt for my sin by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. The depth of God, the riches of God, are ultimately recognized in Jesus and his cross. You know that. I know that you do. I know that I do. But when we sing songs like this, it helps me to remember. It helps me to be reminded. When we think about what God offers us in Jesus, and when we contemplate the suffering that he was willing to endure, and the fact that he went and he paid the debt, that he went and he bore my sin in his body on the tree, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, I've got to be reminded of my Savior and what he was willing to do. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. He's their Savior. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12, it's only in the name of Jesus. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down from the cross for me. They're all tied to Jesus. We can know nothing of the depth of God's love for us without looking to the cross. The chorus of the great hymn says, oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. He wasn't forced. He came and offered himself for us. And the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. Tonight, brethren, don't forget to smile. Brother Tedley never forgot to smile. May we never either. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He's reserved a place in heaven for you. Tonight, what will you do with Jesus? Will you come to him tonight in faith and repentance and baptism? Will you come to him tonight to have your sins removed, be washed away, to have God take them and cast them into the depths of the sea? Tonight, if you'll come and be washed in the blood of Christ, you can have your sins forgiven. You can walk in newness of life, and the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse you from your sin as you walk in the light. Maybe tonight as a Christian, you have wandered away. If we can help you in any way tonight, please don't leave here with a scowl. Leave here with a smile, being right with God. If we can help you, then won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.